if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 351. This is our 2025 Truist Championship and Turkish Airlines Open tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss this week's PGA and DP World Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit gambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website, where we have in-depth betting previews for both the Truist and the Turkish Airlines. We've got detailed form stats, of course, new and old predictor models for both events this week. There's also going to be some data and a tips preview for Myrtle Beach. All of our content is available completely free of charge. There is no paywall. On X, follow Barry. He's at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. We are on Blue Sky. Search for Steve Bamford and Paul Williams. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where this podcast is available each and every week. 125 likes if you're listening to the podcast on YouTube would be fantastic. Don't forget, press that subscribe button as well. We have PGA Championship content coming out towards the end of this week in terms of our research podcast. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. This one is from Aaron Bender. I don't know if it's a real name, but I like it. He's in Denver, Colorado. Weekly Tradition, entitled 5 stars. Have been listening for years now. One time last year, while in the car, I played it, and the kids stared in wonderment as I was singing the opening jingle. Look forward to it each week. Helped me finish 13th in my one and done out of 625 players last year. Well done, Aaron. That's decent. He was also recently on Min Woo Lee, so he's using the information from the podcast to help his selections. Cheers, Japs. And cheers to you, Aaron. Thanks for your time.
Brilliant. Thanks, Aaron.
Cheers, Aaron.
Denver, Colorado, the Mile High Club. Now, I don't know about you guys, but looking at last week's, this is a great, yeah, this is podcasting at its best. I don't know about you guys, but I'm in the Mile High Club at the moment. I'm so excited about the PGA Championship, and let me tell you why. We've got the three best players in the world, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, and Bryson DeChambeau, all playing their very best golf heading into the PGA at Quail. I thought Scottie was amazing last week. Strokes gained records, da, da, da. Let's be frank, though. He did beat an extremely weak field, but he did it in style. You've got Rory taking the green jacket around New York for all of his media obligations. But clearly, his last individual tournament, he did win the Masters. And then you get Bryson smashing second, I think it was, in the previous LIV event. And then last week in Korea, getting the job done. Now, Data Golf, clear number three best player on the planet.
Yep.
So,
yeah,
you know,
rightly too.
From a major championship perspective, I cannot remember personally the last time we went into a major. I suppose it could have been the PGA last year. Rory had won at Quail. He'd beaten Xander. And Scheffler was still on his tear. Mm. But it's kind of similar vibe. I take it you guys are looking forward to it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's nice to see some of the top players in the world playing some of their best stuff, and sets up really well. It also lengthens some of the pricing for the players below him in the market, because there's been money for Rory, as you'd expect. There's been money over the weekend for Scotty. And of course, there's been money for Bryson as well, because, as you say, he very nearly won the week before, didn't he, in the Live yeah. circuit, and then won over the weekend. So, yeah, three very popular players, but really strong field for the PGA, always is. And I'm sure there's going to be a little bit of value further down there if one of those three guys doesn't win. Or we pick out some each way shots as well, can't we?
I like that angle, Paul, the being able to hunt for a bit of value elsewhere. It sets up very nicely. Fingers crossed they all kind of get involved or in that top 10, the leaderboard. It'll make it for a very, very exciting PGA.
Great course. I mean, this is it. I do like Quail Hollow. You know, going back to the old days of Phil Mickelson, absolutely. He had it on a string round Quail Hollow in the old days. I can remember Sean O'Hare winning there. I can remember Ricky. I think Ricky's first. It was Rory's first PGA Tour title. I believe Fowler's as well was at Quail Hollow.
Yeah, Ricky Fowler, you were on that week, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I was, yeah. So there's a lot of good memories with Quail. I know it's a different course now. But yes, I think it's going to be a cracker. And unbelievably, I was talking to Paul about this over the weekend. I'm pretty resolute in at least two selections for the PGA already. So that's quite a nice place to be. Rather than grey and hazy, you're like, nah, black and white, him, definitely in. So, yeah. We will be recording our PGA Championship research pod later this week.
Yeah, so we can pick out a few trends or snippets that you listeners can tap into and do a bit of research on over the weekend.
Anything you gleaned from the Byron Nelson other than Scotty lapping the field?
I don't know. There's always the danger with Scotty that he finds his game like that and absolutely walks it, which he did. Only he was odds on after Thursday and never looked back. So it kind of turned it into a non-event from a betting perspective. But you're not going to compete with the numbers he was producing. It was just phenomenal. Was he first for strokes gained approach and tee to green, third for off the tee, and then sixth for strokes gained putting? You put all that together, you're just not gonna get close to it, are you? But yeah, 29 birdies, 3 eagles. He didn't quite birdie or better every other hole, but it wasn't far off, and no one else stood a chance. But yes, whether he can take that into a Quail Hollow, and we were discussing this off air, Quail Hollow's a tournament that he misses each year. So, you know, there's plenty of players out there with significant course experience that have got a leg up on him in that respect. But yeah, don't know. Interesting dilemma for many next week.
For such an unpredictable golf tournament, Scotty Scheffler winning that 14-5, mainly 11-4 favourite, was just like previous winners, 200-1, 125-1, 18-1, 90-1, now 11-4 favourite. But KH Lee the second time, he was 8th for strokes gained putting the week before winning. And then across my strokes gained rankings, Day, Pendrith and now Scheffler all within the top 12 rolling strokes game putting entering the event. Clearly, it was just a case of there's no way I'm putting Spieth Scheffler up at 11-4 to win Byron Nelson. So that was it. Literally, you wake up on Friday, you're like, right, that tournament's finished. On to next week from a winner's perspective. Anything you gleaned, Barry, or shall we move? It's a packed show, so anything I know you've been playing a lot of golf over the weekend, so.
That was where my focus was, yeah. As soon as Scotty blitzed us on Thursday, my eagerness to watch it went right down. So it is what it is. Move on. Unbelievable performance. I know we're just, it's amazing how good he is that he'll do this and we kind of go, ho hum, yeah, good job, on to the next.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So he's kind of desensitized us to how good he is.
Yeah. Yeah, but when he's good, when he's on like that, he's just outstanding. And fully justifies world number one status when he's playing like that.
Hmm.
If you're listening on YouTube, just press that subscribe button. Make sure your notifications are switched on. You will then receive our PGA Championship Research podcast and then our Championship Tips podcast as soon as it is published. We are very, very close to 5,000 subscribers, so please press that subscribe button. Now, the PGA Tour this week, you're going to love this. It travels to a new course in an event that has a new sponsor. Let me explain. Wells Fargo, the Wells Fargo Championship, has been replaced by Truist. And Truist is another bank chap. So we've now got the Truist Championship. And where this tournament is always hosted, at Quail Hollow, of course it can't be, because Quail Hollow is hosting the PGA Championship. So we have a new course. And I've got to say, it's a beauty. I cannot pronounce this at all, but I'm gonna say the Wissahickon course.
Yeah, close enough.
At Philadelphia Cricket Club.
Mm.
It all makes sense, doesn't it? We're playing at a cricket club in Flower Town, Pennsylvania. So basically in the suburbs of Philadelphia. Now, I know for a fact that Barry's going to love this golf course. We haven't had one of these for quite a while on the PGA Tour. It's an A.W. Tillinghast original. And when I say A.W. Tillinghast, just go through some of these. These are his known works. Bolter's Roll, where they played the 2016 PGA Championship, won by Jimmy Walker. Probably his joint most famous, Bethpage State Park, the Black Course. Don't know if you've heard of that one. They've played the 2000 and 2009 US Open there. They also played the 2019 PGA Championship there, won by Brooks Koepka. They've also held the 2012 and 2016 Barclays tournaments there. So if you want to have a go and look at some leaderboards of players that have played the AW Tillinghast Bethpage Black Course well, those are the tournaments you need to look at. That's played up in New York State, I believe.
Mm.
I think it's New York rather than New Jersey.
Quite a bit longer though, isn't it, I think?
Yes, a lot longer. You've then got Ridgewood Country Club, where they played the 2010 and 2014 Barclays tournaments and the 2018 Northern Trust. I believe that 2018 Northern Trust was won by one Bryson DeChambeau.
I was just looking at that. He would be a hell of a bet this week if he was playing it, because he also won the US Open at Winged Foot. Bryson and Tillinghast seem like a very well-connected pair.
Like matches made in heaven.
I'm now looking for who's the next one that will be behind Bryson in terms of being good on Tillinghast courses. Justin Thomas has popped up a couple of times. DJ. Yeah.
Jason Day's got a decent record on them.
There's a pretty strong correlation then, isn't there? And just from a quick eye test looking at it here at leaderboards, did you notice any strong, like particularly stronger correlation to playing Tillinghast courses and players playing well at them?
There were definitely plenty of names that reoccurred on his kind of tracks. One of them being a certain Jordan Spieth, who I've tipped up this week.
He's going to pop soon, isn't he? It is coming.
I hope so. Although there was one guy on X that I sent out my, you know, I sent out the copy, and literally there was a reply within sort of 15 minutes. I can't believe you put up this list of jabronis. Although saying that, you're going to say the same thing to me, Barry, once I've gone through all my selections. But I can't, none of them have got the balls to win anymore. And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if he'd have said the same thing about Justin Thomas the week before he won the RBC Heritage. It's a funny old game, golf. Now, this golf course, Paul is correct, it's a lot shorter. We're dealing with a 7,119-yard par 70, two par fives. It's a classical golf course, of course. It's a 22 original. Keith Foster did a fantastic renovation job here in 2013. Key takeaways for me. Number of sand bunkers, 118. I believe it's got 2.38 acres of sand bunker. So you're going to see a lot of sand, both... When you look at the green complexes here, every single one of those green complexes is bunkered with a minimum of two. And there's always bunkers on each side of the green. Another thing to note, these green complexes are all raised. Paul mentioned this off my... All raised. Very Donald Ross-like. When you talk Donald Ross designs, and very much this golden age of design, isn't it? A lot of these greens are tilted back to front. So going long here is never a great play. Another thing to note as well, and something you can see from the visuals here, a lot of the greens, if not all of them, apart from the par threes, they have, it's like the Open Championship rota where the fairway literally runs all the way to the green. So you can see from a recovery sort of position where if you're missing fairways, if you can get the ball into that sort of 15, 18 yard corridor that just laps up to the front of the green, you've then got a chip. You know, you can get up and down for par or potentially on a par five. You're making birdie. There's a lot of that going on. It isn't, what I'm suggesting is it isn't all air game here. I think you can actually play to a certain degree on the ground as well. Again, it's that old golf course kind of style. The greens themselves are moderate in size, 5,800 square feet. They're a rarity on the PGA Tour. They feature bent grass. It's a beautiful course, has to be said. In the build-up, I've categorised this golf course as an upstate golf course. Of course, we're now in the northeast of the United States. I've also categorised it as short in length. There's only one sort of creek that runs through here. It's in play on six of the holes, and just a completely irrelevant piece of information. This Philadelphia Cricket Club was... A.W. Tillinghast's home club, and his ashes were spread in that very brook that I mentioned. So A.W. Tillinghast remains on this design. So I would assume it was one of his favourites. So lots and lots of history here. Apart from that, we don't know a lot about it. There was a amateur players championship, not amateur. There was a senior players championship played here, and Bernard Langer won it. But whatever that means, I've no idea. One thing I also, probably the last thing I of note, 30 to 32 yard wide fairways at 300 yards, so plenty of room. They're quoting the rough at 3 inches in height. And it's fescue in nature. A few of the holes also have taller knee-high fescue around bunkers and around greens as well, giving it that kind of almost linksy feel on some of the holes. But she's a beauty. Absolute beautiful. You compare this to Craig Grant's last week. Yin and yang, mate. This is a proper golf course.
Yep, sounds good. Looking forward to seeing it on the TV.
World ranking of truest championship winners, although this is the first truest championship. McIlroy won at Quail Hollow last year. He was second in the world. Wyndham Clark, interestingly, won his first PGA Tour title in 2023 at this event. He was 80th in the world. Homer 38th, McIlroy 15th, Homer 413th, Jason Day 14th. It's a signature event field. The only two players that I noticed weren't in it were one Scotty Scheffler and two Billy Horschel. Billy's suffering with bad back, I believe. So hopefully Billy can get better for next week's PGA. Anything you guys want to mention? I mean, it's difficult because we've actually never seen the golf course in action, so it's difficult really to go through in detail. For me, and this was why I tipped up Jordan Spieth last week, I think when we're now into mid-May, we're in a run of events. We've moved agronomy this week completely away from where we have in the past couple of months. We're away from the Bermuda grass. We're away from Poa Trivialis. This is completely northeast agronomy, quite northern European agronomy as well. And the weather really grabbed me this week. I haven't had a chance before recording this morning to look at it, but from what I saw yesterday, Thursday looks pretty standard, but Friday, it was dropping to like 9, 10 degrees Celsius as a front moves through with rain and wind. It warmed slightly on Saturday, but we're still talking 13, 14 degrees Celsius. You know, a lot of these Americans, that's mitts and bobble hats.
Snooze.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So that just made, I was just looking at this. So Northeast Golf Course, par 70, only two par fives, relatively wide off the tee, second shot golf course, bent grass greens. And as you said, Barry, this just looking at A.W. Tillinghast designs and names that were popping up and occurring. These are the names I came with. I'm starting at 18-1. So where are you boys chipping in at? Where are you coming in at, Paul?
Do you know, I've only backed one this week.
And, right. And what price is that individual?
33 is thereabouts.
Okay, right. Barry?
I'm on Jordan Spieth.
Take us through it, because I'm on Jordan Spieth as well. You go.
I mean, I guess it's just like it's an accumulation of events and watching him and just seeing things start to, you know, the pieces of not puzzle, but just the picture starts to become more clear. Better, you know, the performance is getting better. The wrist doesn't seem to look like an issue. And as more time goes on, coming back from that, he builds more comfort and confidence in it. And he's going to be able to swing freer. And it just seems to all be coming together in results that are there. I like the little fact that JT won recently. So that'll be an extra little motivator. A bit of a spotlight coming on him now about how long it's been since he won a major. Now that kind of Rory took that focus off of him. It's just a few things kind of all adding to the story and the picture. And I mean, nice run of form recently, 12th, 14th, 18th, week off, and then 4th last week. Let's go.
Go on.
No, just the other thing I do like this week is that little bit of extra width in the fairways. But, you know, when Jordan's offline, he's, you know, his ability to kind of recover scramble from, you know, from an approach shot kind of perspective, recover scramble, he's very good at that. So I think this course might be, it should be a nice fit for him as well.
If you look at a lot of the places Jordan's won at, and I know this sounds ridiculous because his Augusta National record is so good, and I know that he's won around places like Plantation, but even Plantation, par 73, 7,000, it's not. It plays so much shorter than that. He actually, for me, tends to play better on shorter golf courses. But the other thing I like about the Jordan Spieth call is the motivation is perfect. He's still 25th in the Ryder Cup standings for Team America. it's not a case of him warming for a major this week. And I think when you look at a lot of the names towards the top of the, why do they really have to play well this week? Are they going to be warming up for next week? That's the thing with a lot of these tournaments the week before a major. You get certain players that like to just win the week before majors anyway. Rory loves that, doesn't he? We know that. Xander seems to go for it. JT likes to go into a major off of a top five. There is a danger of JT going bang, bang, I think. So be wary of that. He has got a habit of stringing two wins together. But for me, Spieth needs to play well. He's starting to play a lot better. And I think that weather, you know, at the end of the day, Jordan Spieth, he does grind. He's from Texas, loves the wind. Whatever weather's thrown at Spieth, with his Open Championship record, you get the feeling he just doesn't really worry him. And I also think he'll like the style of course where if he does need to recover, as I said, he can run the ball 20, 30 yards front of the green on the open, you know, into that opening, and then you're chipping and putting to save par. I think that will help Jordan Spieth, the actual style of the golf course. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I got managed to get, what did I get? 25-1 with Ladbrokes, 8 places each way on Spieth. So I was quite pleased with that. Now, where you're not going to be pleased with me, Barry, and I'm sorry, but... I'm just sorry. I'll mention his name. I'll mention his stake, who I've backed him with, and I'll leave it really short.
We'll move on.
Patrick Cantlay, 2 points each way, 18-1 with Betfred, 8 places each way. I'm sorry. I'm really, really sorry.
You will be when he doesn't win.
I'm sorry.
Steve, it's your money. You can invest it how you wish.
Yeah. He might backdoor a top eight, Steve. You might be all right.
6 of his 7 PGA Tour victories on Ben Grass Greens. He does play well in the upstate. That's all I'm going to say. I apologise. All right, Paul, take us to your 33-1 selection, please.
Well, he's the same as yours. So,
what is going on here?
I'll start off and you can finish because I don't really want to steal your thunder with him. But I went all around the houses with this, and similar to what you just described about motivation and with the PGA Championship next week, and you got this scenario where, with it being a signature event, everyone's playing next week. It's not as if someone's trying to sneak into the field or. I've got to try and find some form ahead of it. They've got their own agendas or their own game plans, I guess. And you know, some players, I'm not convinced, will be going all out to win it this week with next week on the horizon. But Shane Lowry, I think, will see this as a far, far better opportunity than going to Quail Hollow next week, where his record is pretty poor. If we're being polite, I don't think it's his course. I think this week is far more up his alley. Classical, bent grass.
Short,
European-style conditions. I mean, we know how good his are those kind of combinations from his record at Wentworth over the years.
Exactly.
And playing some really good golf, isn't he? If you listen to Shane in an interview, you know that he's on the cusp of something really good. He knows he's been playing great for a while. It's just not quite manifested into a win. Second at Pebble, 7th at the Bay Hill API, 8th at the Valspar already this year. And as you said, and I'll let you finish it off from here, but as you said in your preview, Rory winning is... Rory winning the Masters should be a huge motivator for him moving forward. It's got to be a shot in the arm to Shane Lowry and his chances for the rest of this year as he qualifies for the Ryder Cup. So, all around the houses, the only one that I have backed so far, and I could be convinced on some others, but I think Shane's a good bet this week.
The Bamford household's a fascinating place, especially on a bank holiday Monday. And I had this conversation with my wife over lunch. I said, if your best mate had just won, not that she's into golf at all, but if your best mate had just won the Masters and your best mate had just won the career Grand Slam, the whole, you know, the highest pedestal known to golf, and you'd literally hugged him to death as he was walking off the 18th green, and you'd parted like you'd never parted before, apart from winning the Ryder Cup, for a few days afterwards. And then you'd got home and you'd sat about it for a week, and you'd played the week after at New Orleans, and you'd had some more drinks and some fun, and you'd been competitive at that. And then you literally go home and you think, if there's one thing that's going to inspire you to play better, it has to be that set of circumstances and in Ryder Cup year.
Yep.
And if you sat down with Sean, if you sat down with Shane and you literally had a pint of Art Guinness with him, if you asked him the question, you know, I'm sure you'd actually say to you, come on, the one thing I need to do is win a couple more tournaments in America. Just raise my CV, my career. I know he's a major champion. I know he's a WGC winner in the past in America, but just a few more individual big tournaments in America, and I'm sure Shane would be more than happy, and maybe a second major at some point. With the greatest of respects, and I know Barry would probably shoot me down, but Shane Lowry has not got the game to win a PGA Championship. He just is not. He hasn't got the extreme length off the tee to win a PGA Championship at any kind of standard PGA Championship golf course, which Quail Hollow is. But this course, and you look at his scoring record this week, chaps, or this season, great on par threes, great on par fours. I think he's ranking something like 115th, 120th for par five birdie or better. That this course takes that all away, just the two par fives. So that works to his advantage. And I think the weather does.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be very Northern European this week. Rain maybe, bit of wind, cold. I think it all plays to Shane's strengths. And that one WGC Bridgestone did occur in Ohio, which is a neighbouring state to where we are in Pennsylvania. So, yeah, I think from a motivation perspective, Lowry's a decent shout this week.
Mm.
Barry, are you on the train or?
It's a team bet, boys, yeah.
We've said this in the past as well. Shane doesn't win off anything obvious. When you look back at Shane's victories, he'll have played a period of good golf. Then he'll go away. He might miss the cut. There'll be a 28th or a 33rd, and then bang, you get the win. I think the form kind of line that he's in at the moment would suggest that to me is a positive. He's playing really well under the surface. Just needs the right course and just a few of the big names not to kind of be switched on. The only other bet I've had, and I did see pictures of him in, where was he? He was on the Orient Express last weekend. So he spent some time in Venice. But I just think for a guy that's got such a great bentgrass green, northeastern golf course history and just plays well in this geography, 60 to 1 I got, bet 365, 8 places on Justin Rose, who won the got into a playoff for the Masters a few weeks ago. Weren't a bad price. So I took Justin Rose at 60 to 1 as well. Hasn't won for a while on the PGA Tour. Does say that he focuses really, really hard on majors these days. I don't know. I just think the golf course will suit him. The agronomy will suit him. And there's a lot of players shorter than 60 to 1 who I would not back over Justin Rose.
There we get that.
So Rose at 60 to 1, I've taken Lowry at 33s, bet 365, 8 places each way on both. Ladbrokes was my bet with Jordan Spieth at 25s. Patrick Cantlay 18 to 1 with Betfred, 8 places each way. Any more bets for you, chaps?
Enough for me. Any for me, Barry?
Thinking I might have a little, just a small bet on Nick Taylor, just for a long shot.
Mm.
I don't know why, just price seems to just pop there. He was reasonably high up in a predictor, so just something of interest outside of that. Yeah, I'm fascinated to see this course, how it plays this week, who goes well. Does, you know, it's nice to have a fresh course that's a little bit different from what we see regularly.
Yeah.
And with the added interest of going into a major next week.
Yeah, we always used to have this scenario, didn't we, with the WGC Bridgestone when it was played before the PGA in August, where players who finished kind of, was it top 28, top 25, something like that,
yeah,
at the Bridgestone, almost every year would go, you know, someone who'd finished in that bracket would go on and win the PGA Championship. And of course, that would have been a WGC limited field back then. So not dissimilar kind of scenario, both geographically and the way that the events that sets up to how it used to be with the old Akron and then onto the PGA scenario. So yeah, keeping an eye on this week and how players are going.
I did could be one last thing. We'll move on to the Turkish. I did pull together a spreadsheet. I do like a spreadsheet of players in that field that had won in the north of the United States. Bradley Cantlay 4 times. Cam Davis, Jason Day 4 times, Barry, Jason Day, Tillinghast, that works. Harris English, Tony Finau's got a decent Tillinghast record. Matt Fitzpatrick, Ricky Fowler, Lucas Glover, Brian Harman, Max Homer, Victor Hovland, Michael Kim, Chris Kirk, Shane Lowry, Robert McIntyre, he won in Canada, okay. Hideki Matsuyama, Rory McIlroy, just the 6 times. Colin Morikawa, JT Poston, Justin Rose, just the 5 times. Xander, Adam Scott, Jordan Spieth, Sepp Strucker, won the 2023 John Deere Classic. That's in Illinois. Nick Taylor, won the Canadian Open, Toronto. Justin Thomas, 3, and Davis Thompson won the John Deere Classic last year. So there's quite a few names there towards the top of the betting that have never won on this kind of agronomy in this kind of geography. That's why I went through that list. Right, Turkish Airlines Open. It's good to have it back on the schedule, I thought. One of the better events. So, and this starts the European segment of the DP World Tour. So over to you, Paul.
Yeah, this the start of the European swing, as you're saying. We do get some good tournaments between now and kind of September time. So kind of the purple patch for the DP World Tour. But yeah, as you say, return of the Turkish Open. It used to be kind of a Rolex level event as part of the old final series, if you remember that.
Yep.
Which was the way that the DP World Tour or European Tour at the time used to finish off its seasons. It used to be played kind of November time. It used to be a limited field $7 million prize fund event, but new date in the schedule. Just a regular prize fund now, $2.75 million, and a full field of 156. So for all intents and purposes, it's just now a regular event. But as you say, nice to have it back on the schedule. And of course, we do have a little bit of event and a little bit of course history as well to dig into, which we'll touch on in a second. In terms of the betting, Hao Tong Lee, 16-1 favourite this week. Jordan Smith, 18s. Wen Yi Ding, 25-1. Joost Luiten, well backed again. He's been popular the last few events, 28-1. Sam Bairstow, Matty Jordan, 33s. And then into the likes of Adrien Sedier, Marco Penge, 35s, 40-1 by those players. And you've got the regular offers out there as well. Bet365, Betfred, both got 8 place each way options running this week, both with some decent prices as well. So do check them out. Now, we are playing at the Regnum Carrier Golf Resort and Spa in Turkey. It's a 7,220-yard par 71. And it did host this event 3 times. We've got 7 events on the event spreadsheets that are published on the site. 3 of them were hosted here. They were the 2016, 2017 and 2018 Turkish Airlines Open events. So they are the most relevant to this, of course, as it's the same course. Now, the course itself is a classical style course. The holes are lined with pine and eucalyptus trees. There's water in play on a number of the holes as well. It's quite an odd course. It's lopsided in that we've got a par 34 for the opening nine and a par 37 for the closing nine. And the back nine is nearly 600 yards longer than the front. So it really is lopsided. I think it's the only way I can really describe it. A couple of par fives on the back nine and some longer par fours as well. So that's where potentially you'll find the score can be made, but equally there's some tougher holes on there as well. It's a Peter Thompson design. He took the inspiration for the course from some of the UK heathland tracks. So much so that he planted a million heather plants to make it look pretty authentic, which it does. It'd be nice to see it now after a few years away, see how it's matured over the years. But a really popular place for tourists, floodlit holes too, so they can play in the evenings, which is always a popular pastime for the golf visitors over there. Calm, dry weather expected, low 80s Fahrenheit. I'm seeing nothing in the forecast to give us any concerns whatsoever, I don't think. So we'll easily get 4 days in, touch wood, famous last words. It'll probably be some kind of storm blow through. But yeah, certainly nothing in the forecast so far. So expecting some good scoring this week. And kind of in line with where we were back in the 3 years that I said that that we had, 2016, 2017, 2018, with the winning scores then, years, 20 under, 18 under, 17 under. So expect something in that bracket, I think. For reference, the winners from those 3 years, Thorbjørn Olesen, 125-1. Justin Rose 8-1, and then Justin Rose again. He defended successfully in 2018 at 9-2. Bear in mind, this was when Justin Rose was right at the peak of his powers.
Stop it! He still is.
Well, yeah, I guess there's some logic for Rose going well in your event this week, because you know this is an event that he could have been coming back to potentially and playing over.
Luke Donald's there, isn't he?
There's a few, yeah. It's not
Luke
a bad
playing. Interesting.
Not a bad field, but yeah. So Justin Rode isn't here to complete his hat trick. Of course, he's got bigger fish to fry over at the Truist. But yeah, twice a winner here. And that might give you some kind of clue as to the kind of player that we're looking for this week. Now, there's no strokes gained data, of course, because it all predated the strokes gained capturing of stats back then. But if we look at the old style statistics, 8th, 1st and 6th for greens in regulation from the three winners. In terms of accuracy, Olesen, he hit just over half the fairways. Rose was 81 and 71% of fairways when he won his two tournaments. So that's much more aligned to where I think this course, or the strengths that you need to have to play this course well. And reading through some of the interview transcripts from those events from a few years ago, lots of the players mentioned the same kind of thing. Accuracy off the tee, key to scoring here. Not because it's difficult from off the tee, not because the rough's high, because it's a resort course after all. You know, you're not going to get knee length high, you're not going to find it stuck in US Open style rough. It's not kind of, that's not the penalty. The penalty here is that if you aren't accurate, then you're going to struggle to find the right parts of greens which allow you to score. If you can hit it long, hit it straight, attack these greens with short irons and wedges, find the right parts of these, find the right tiers of these greens, because they are multi-tiered, then you're going to give yourself an opportunity. Because there's plenty of players talking about how well the greens run. They're Bermuda Tiff Eagle, so they are quite grainy. But if you're good at Bermuda putting, you'll find they're quite acceptable in terms of making birdies. And players were talking about quite easily making 20, 25 footers, because if you find yourself on the right tier, you're going to give yourself a chance of making those kind of putts. So I think for me, it's more about position and then attacking with a strong wedge game, a strong short iron game, and some good Bermuda putting as well. So yeah, I guess when you look at how Rose and Ollison got round, Rose did that. Ollison must have had some magic beans that week to have won the way he did. But he came off the back of absolutely no form coming into it. It was one of those random or more random Thorbjørn Ollison wins that we've seen over the years. It's as I say, Tiff Eagle Bermuda Green. So similar to the ones that you find in Dubai, actually, and a number of the players again were talking about how if they felt comfortable in the Bermuda greens, they could putt well. If you aren't a comfortable Bermuda putter with the grain, then potentially it's one where you may struggle a little bit. In terms of incoming form, as I say, Ollison was in poor form. 50th was his best outing from his previous six starts. He had got one top 20 finish in his previous 11, so he'd have been really tough to have found, I think. Rose, five consecutive top 10s, both times ahead of his win here. So, as I say, he was at the peak of his powers. I think this was the kind of time when he was in and around world number one. He may have even achieved world number one off the back of one of these wins. So that's when he was at the very top of his game. So no surprise when he won this in back-to-back years. But I think other than that, if you look at the wider Turkish Open form, so including the events that were held at the Montgomery Max, which is the other course they used to host this over the years, aside from Ollison, every winner had a top 10 in one of their previous eight starts. So I think, you know, I'm kind of the mind that the stats and the result for Thorbjørn Ollison were a bit of an outlier and that we should really be looking at Justin Rose as the blueprint for success for this. We shall see. Anyway, I'll back four this week. I'll rattle through them and then I'll get you boys, if you've got any thoughts on this. I can't give up on Hao Tong Li just yet. He's the favourite this week, and I thought 16-1 was fair. You know how this game works. If you keep backing him, potentially, you know, follow him over a cliff and then give up just before the end, and then he goes and wins. And I've just got this feeling that he has got a win, another win in him very, very soon. So I'm going to back him and just hold my nose and go in at 16-1. His long game, though, has been a revelation this year. 19th for strokes gained off the tee so far, 6th for strokes gained tee to green, 2nd for strokes gained approach for the season. Those stats don't lie because he's played a lot of rounds, playing some really nice stuff from off the tee. And that's pretty perfect for this, I think. And particularly when you bear in mind that he's been a runner-up twice here. He was 2nd to Ollison back in 2016. He lost a playoff to Justin Rose in that second of Rose's wins in 2018. So has got on with the course twice and come very close twice. Great form this season as well. One in Qatar, progressive form of 41st, 16th, 9th and 4th ahead of the Hainan Open, which was his last start, 51st last time out. But I think I'm going to forgive him for that. That was coming off the back of a really good chance to win the China Open, his home Open, of course. And, you know, I think we can forgive him for having one week where he wasn't quite on his game. It's a big motivator for this, for Hao Tong Li, is the fact that he wants that PGA Tour card for next year, sitting at 8th in the race to Dubai at the moment, in pole position for achieving one of those 10 cards. So I'm expecting full focus from him for this week and for the next few months ongoing as well. So at the top, Hao Tong Li. Mid prices, Hugo Cousald, I've backed at 45s. Bit of a late bloomer, the Frenchman, but 32 now and had his rookie season last year, but showing some, you know, likelihood of moving on and potentially breaking through at this level. 2nd at the Qatar Masters last year, 7th at the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth, 6th in Abu Dhabi, both of those in decent company, of course. And progressing nicely this year, 25th, 20th, 17th before the Masters. And then he shook off the rust last week. He won a small event in Bordeaux back on one of the local tours, just for a little bit of confidence, for a little bit of something moving into this week where he can pick up potentially and look to win that first title. Driver and iron's working really nicely statistically, so I think Hugo Coussoud could feature this week. Similar kind of price, has been well backed, Adrian Ategui. I took 45-1 with 8 places. You can get a little more at present with fewer each way places. Accurate Sort, 5 times a winner on the DP World Tour. Won in China this time last year, so it ticks your biorhythms box, Barry, I think. It was right at the start of May for his last win. Rounding into some form, I think. 26th in the China Open, 11th at the Hainan Classic, and before we had the week off, 3rd here back in 2018, so who knows the course. Seems to be improving. He's not the greatest of putters, but seems to be improving on Bermuda greens as well. As a UAE citizen now, he represents them, having moved there. And actually, he's lived over there for 12, 13 years, I think, now. So plenty of practice on Bermuda greens, and seems to be statistically improving on this sort of surface. So I think he might surprise a few with his performance on the greens this week. Let's hope so. The final one, a lot longer, Jordan Gumberg, 150-1. I backed him at the China Open at a similar price. Another accurate sort. Actually recorded his best strokes gained putting performance that week. 7th in the field. Didn't do much in the end. He finished 49th thereabouts, I think. But 16th last time out at the Hainan Classic. That was a bit of a bomber's course, so I think this suits him much better. Because he won in a similar length course back at the St. Francis Lynx last year. Similar kind of length, similar kind of position just inside from, or just inland from the coast. So perhaps we'll get some similar vibes to it this week as well. I think the price is a bit disrespectful, so happy to take a chance on Jordan Gumberg at 150-1. And then my 4, Gumberg, Ategui, Coussoud and Hao Tong Lee. Any from you, Barry, in Turkey?
Kind of arrived. I haven't really arrived at too many options, but there's one just popping, is Tapio Pulkkinen. More so for price, which is a nice merge of price. A little bit of a, feels like a little bit of a chance. A 7th and a 13th in his two of his last three events, has a 10th at this course back in 2018, so just something to keep me interested. I'm not too deep into the study on this one, so just a little one for now.
Yeah, he put I forget, it was either the China Open or the Hainan Classic where he put together absolute flying first round, I think.
Yeah.
So
China Open, yeah. I think I'm just looking at his OWGR page here.
Yeah, I did see his name at the top of a leaderboard recently.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, we'll see how he goes, Barry. Any from you, Steve? I know you've been wrestling with a pair of tournaments this week.
No, I'm not going to have a bet in Europe. I tell you what, I am going to do though. I'm going to just take you through the very basics of this Myrtle Beach Classic for the listeners. The Dunes Golf and Beach Club, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Paul pulled a preview together for this last year. It was the first time it was the alternate event opposite the Truist Championship. It's on the coast, but it's a parkland golf course. I've categorised it as mid-score. I wouldn't be surprised teens wins it. It's a Carolina kind of golf course, tree-lined, lots of dog legs. It's medium in length, 7,347 yards. It's a par 71. Holes with water in play 6. We're dealing with fairways that are tight, again, Carolina kind of golf course mantra, 20 to 25 yards at 300 yards carry. Just compare that with Harbour Town, one of the most famous Carolina golf courses. They're 22 yards wide at 300, so very, very similar. This golf course, Paul's featured Tiff Eagle in Turkey. This is Champion Ultra Dwarf Bermuda Grass. The greens are 6,000 square feet on average. We had Chris Gotterup win this last year, Paul. He was 50-1. Big yeah. banger, Mr. Chris Gotterup. Very yeah. long off the tee.
Yeah, it wasn't in the best of form coming into it, but it's shown snippets, hadn't he? Certainly at the Corn Ferry Tour level as well.
Now, I'm literally writing my selections as soon as we've recorded this podcast and closed the podcast. Paul, I know you have backed some players. Do you just want to quickly take the listeners through that?
Yeah, I've only backed two so far. I'll wait and see what your thoughts are and see if there's any more that tickle my fancy. But the two I've backed are Pearson Coody at 50-1. And I think he kind of fits that Gotterup mould, personally. At 25th last week, long game looked really good. First for total driving and old money. Second for strokes gained off the tee. 11th for strokes gained tee to green. Did make the cut here last year, but that was off the back of a couple of missed cuts. And coming into this in much better form. I've backed Coody before. I think he's the kind of player that can break through in one of these alternate events sooner rather than later. And 50-1 feels like the right kind of price for him to do that. The other one is Cameron Champ, who I picked up at 85-1 earlier this morning. And I thought that was a mad price. We know Champ, he can win. You know, if you look down, to be fair, the Myrtle Beach field isn't terrible. I've seen far, far worse.
No, there's far worse alternate fields than this. Yeah, I agree. I mean, Hughes is playing, Thorbjørn Olsen. There's some decent talent in it, to be fair.
Yeah, we've certainly seen far worse. So I shouldn't diss it that much. But in that field, Champ's, you know, he's got three PGA Tour wins. He got a late call up last week to play the Byron Nelson, finished 15th. And played nicely, some good approach numbers. He was 8th for strokes gained putting. And this is kind of his MO, isn't it? He comes from obscurity with very little form, finds a little bit, and then wins. So if you go back to his 3M Open win in 2021, again, it was just a string of missed cuts or withdrawals or whatever it was. Finished 11th the week before, won the 3M Open. And coming off very similar form this week, 15th last week, after some indifferent results. Long hitter, again, he fits the Gotterup mould, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Cameron Champ go really well this week.
Can you believe Tom Kim's playing? That shows you how far Tom Kim's fallen down the golfing ladder of late.
Yeah.
25-1, Tom Kim. Fair play to him. He's actually going to play.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, not one of these, you're not going to get me at one of these alternate events. I'm far too big a name for that.
No, he obviously wants to play some golf, but yeah, it doesn't feel much like a Tom Kim kind of course to me, but could be wrong. Been wrong plenty of times in the past.
Right, I think that's us. Are you having a bet in the Myrtle Beach, Barry? Or I would have thought with your weekend, something you're going to have to take a quick look at. There's some good players in it. Ryan Fox is there at 40-1. Seamus Power, Harry Hall. It's a decent field. Kevin can't putt you.
I haven't dug into it yet, and just skimming it here, nothing is popping off the page. So maybe something in flight.
Excellent. Right. Thank you for your time, gentlemen. I hope your bets go well.
Best luck, boys.
Best of luck to listeners. We'll be back later this week with our episode 352, our PGA Championship research podcast. All you need to know, trends, skill sets and course information in terms of Quail Hollow and the PGA Championship next week. Hope your bets go well. See you again soon.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system.